Well, it is my privilege and honor to introduce our speaker, and we're glad to have Brother Tom Smith and Miss Rhonda, his wife. He pastored the Mount Zion Baptist Church, just recently retired this last June, was it? And pastored 41 years, is it? I had the privilege of teaching in the school there. It's a ministry of Mount Zion Baptist Church for about 5 years, 91 to 96, I think it was. And what a great work, and how God has used Brother Tom Smith in the preaching of the word and seeing people saved and discipled for the honor and glory of the Lord. So with that said, we're expecting God to bless, as he has, Brother Smith, and the service today and in Monday through Wednesday. So, Brother Smith, come and share with us what God has laid on your heart.
We were here a couple of years ago for a single service, and it's unusual for us to get invited anywhere, but it's really unusual to get invited back anywhere. So it's good to be here. I thoroughly enjoyed the Bible study this morning, the men's Sunday school class. It was real encouragement, Brother John Smith teaching us, and I was encouraged. I was helped by it, and I'm thankful to the Lord for it. And we've looked forward to these days. We're going to be in Revelation chapter 3, if you'd be finding that in your Bible today. Revelation chapter 3. Congratulations to the church on this special day, a commencement or a recognition, a celebration of God's goodness and faithfulness to your church. We thank the Lord for that. We're going to begin reading Revelation chapter 3, a fairly familiar place. And if you're able to stand, would you stand with us, please, for the reading of the Word of God, and then I'll pray. But Revelation chapter 3, and I want to begin reading in verse 19. And we'll look at a number of other verses as we move along. But Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, the Bible says, "As many as I love," this is the Lord speaking, "as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear," or "he that hath ear," excuse me, "let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Our Father, we thank you again today for this opportunity to gather in this place. Thank you for this church, for the pastor and his family, the many devoted families here who love and serve you in this church. Thank you, Lord, for guests that have assembled with us. What a blessed thing it is to gather together on the Lord's Day, to lift our voices in song to you, to worship you, to set aside the cares and distractions of the world and give you the attention that you deserve. So, Father, we pray for your help today as we get into the Word of God. We want you to bless throughout this week, but we ask you to especially now just to bless in these moments we have, work in our hearts. Dear Lord, we pray that you would keep the devil from distracting or hindering us from benefiting what you have for us today, and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We're going to get into this text in a moment, but I just want to begin in the way of introduction. Just to acknowledge the fact that this is a very special day for this church, an anniversary, a celebration, really, of the Lord's goodness. We don't celebrate our faithfulness, we celebrate God's faithfulness and his goodness to us. A church can only exist and continue to be relevant, vibrant, first of all, because of the grace of God. It takes God working in us and through us. But second of all, it takes God's people. You know, a church is an assembly. If you don't have anybody to assemble, you're not going to have a church. And so it takes faithfulness in as far as God's people are concerned. Last month, our church there in St. Clair celebrated its 115th year of ministry. I was not the first pastor. Began in 1907. God's been good to us. I've enjoyed over the years reading some of the old minutes of the church. We have some fairly good records of things that happened a long time ago, business meetings. For instance, there was a place in there where the church voted for all the people that could to bring eggs on a certain day to take them to the nursing home. There was a vote in there to give the pastor a salary of $5 a week. Imagine that. Some people probably thought it was too much. There was a record in there of a pastor on a Sunday who surprised the people, I think, by announcing his resignation. And he stepped down as the pastor of the church. But very interesting, the very next record in the minutes was the following Sunday, the church voted unanimously to call him back as their pastor. And he accepted. It was a vote of 12 to none. Churches exist because of God's people being faithful and because of the grace of God working in churches. And as the pastor said, I recently retired from pastoring. After 41 years, I was actually on full-time staff at the church for 4.5 years as a youth director before I became pastor. So really, I served there for 45 plus years. And you see a lot of things in churches in over 4 decades. You see difficult times and struggles. You see times when it seems like you're really on a God's really blessing and things are happening, and sometimes you wonder what kind of a trial you're going through. But we need to think about this today, and this is really what I want to focus our attention on, and that is how churches remain active and vibrant and effective for the Lord's work. It's not enough for us just to gather together. We want God to use us. And this is not a pleasant thing to say, but it's true. Churches in America are closing at a record pace. More churches in America are permanently closing their doors than there are churches that are beginning. And that was prior to the pandemic. And it's only gotten worse since the pandemic. Now, why is that? Why would that be true? I mean, why would that be so? America needs churches. People need a gospel light. And there are a lot of reasons, but basically it always comes down to a decline in church membership. And as we look at this passage today in Revelation chapter 3, I think we see some practical, important realities about churches, about church life. Now, church life is not everything, but church life is an important part of our lives. I was raised in my mother loved the Lord, and she was faithful in church attendance, and my mom and dad were divorced. She took us to church. I went to many, many, many hundreds of church services as a kid, but one thing I never experienced, mother never said, you know, are we going to decide if we're going to go to church today? Or she never said, do you want to go to church today? And we never said, are we going to church? It was a given. We're going to be in church. But listen, today, we live in a world that minimizes churches. But you don't find that in the Bible. The Bible strongly emphasizes the role of the Lord's churches. If you look in our text in chapter 3 and verse 22, the very last verse of that chapter says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, just think about that. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. God is speaking to the churches. I mean, we get this out of the Bible. It's very clear in the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, if we were to take our New Testament today and just look at the New Testament truth, the books of the Bible, this is where we're going to find that many of the epistles, almost all of the epistles, were written to local churches. And the emphasis of evangelism was not only winning souls, but starting churches. The way the work of missions took place was churches cooperated with other churches. So if you listen to our culture, if you put your ear to the ground and listen to our culture today, they'll say, well, churches aren't important and we don't really need churches. I had a pastor call me one day and said, because he had read and heard some things that we talked about, just emphasized the role of the churches, but he took it to an extreme and said, do you believe a person has to be a member of a church to go to heaven? And I said, that's ridiculous. No, I don't believe that. I believe a person's saved because their faith in Jesus Christ. But that does not discredit or minimize the role of churches in the Lord's work. And so we see here that God was speaking to the churches. I think you would agree with this. Probably the most talked about book of the Bible is the book of Revelation. People like to talk about the book of Revelation. They like to think about prophecy and if we're in chapter 3 of Revelation, but if you're beginning in chapter 4 in verse 1, there's a shift in the book of the Revelation, and that is, it's talking about coming events. What's going to be going on in heaven? What's going to be going on in earth after believers are taken from the earth? There's a great emphasis on the great tribulation, the rise of the Antichrist, the coming one world economic power, and the attacks against Israel. And people are fascinated by all this stuff. I mean, people are fascinated by the book of Revelation. But here's the thing that I think is very noteworthy. Not a lot of attention is given to the first three books of the book of Revelation. Revelation 1, 2, and 3. And those three books are about God speaking to the churches. And I love prophecy, and I like to read about prophecy and think about prophecy. But there's something to me more important about what's going to happen down the road that we really can't always understand completely anyway. There's something more important, and that is how we live our life today. What is God doing in our life today? What does God have to say to us today? And that's what this passage is about. Revelation chapter 3, we see the Lord speaking to the churches. Look in verse 20. This is one of the most famous books of verses in the book of Revelation. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, Jesus said. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now, these are words to one of the churches. Just for the record, I mentioned we wrote a book about the Lord's work in his churches. But the word church or churches is found about 117 times in the New Testament. Just put that number in your mind. 117 times in all of the New Testament, the word church or churches are found. And yet, 18 of those 117 times are found right here in these two chapters. A great emphasis in these chapters about churches. And I'm not going to go through and read these, but you'll remember this if you're a student of the Bible at all. Begins with, it says, to the angel of the church at Ephesus, and the Lord speaks through the angel, the messenger, the pastor of the church of Ephesus. And then it'll conclude that message to the angel of the church of Ephesus about the same way this one does. If anybody have ears to hear, let him hear what the Lord saith unto the churches. That's not incidental. God is speaking to the churches. Now, I think we would all know this, but it's worth emphasizing and reminding ourselves, churches are not a building. Now, we may say, let's go down to the church. But the church is not the building. The church is the people. The church is made up of church members. Members make up the church, just like the members of my body make up this body. Church members make up the local assembly, and so the Lord is speaking to churches. Now, let me just make an observation, if I could, this morning, and just draw some basic conclusions. First of all, God is very interested in His churches. God is very interested. Whether we're interested, and I know we're interested because we're here, I'm interested today because I'm here. I'm interested today because there's food that follows. But I'm more interested in the fact that we're assembling today. God is interested in His churches. Second of all, God has something to say to His churches. Now, The church that I'm a member of and that I pastored for many years is assembling right now today in St. Clair, Missouri. And I believe God is interested in that church. And I believe God has something to say to that church today. And I believe God is interested in this church. And God has something to say to His churches. Third thing I get from this text, if you look at the church at Pergamos, the church at Philadelphia, the church at Thyatira, the church at Ephesus, the church at Laodicea, if you look at these churches, what He said to them was not always the same. So number one, God's interested in His churches. Number two, God has something to say to His churches. But three, God deals with His churches individually. And God deals with this church individually. And here's the fourth thing that the conclusion I arrive at from this passage and other passage in Revelation 2 and 3, and that is this. Churches, all churches, these churches, our church, all churches need revival. Amen. All churches do. And I'm glad this church has decided to have a revival meeting this week. But revival is not just a meeting. And if we look in these examples, we see how God would speak to churches. Here, if you have ears to hear what the Lord is saying to the churches, and then He gives messages to these churches. And here's a foregone conclusion. I already mentioned it, but I want to repeat it. If churches are not periodically or perpetually being revived, eventually they die. There's churches that I have preached at in my lifetime that are no longer in existence. Now, I'd like to think they didn't die because I preached at them. But it's true. Churches around our country are not thriving. At least not all of them are. And don't be offended by this, but there's some places that call themselves churches that aren't really churches. And we might even be better off without them. But we want good, sound, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches to remain alive and vibrant and effective. You know, just talking about these churches in Revelation, you could go to any of these locations and you're not going to find any of these churches. They're not existence. You could go to other churches, great churches of the New Testament era, church like Philippi, the church at Thessalonica. We've been in Philippi. We've been to Thessalonica. We've been to Corinth. None of those churches that were strong churches of the New Testament era are in existence today. For us to think that just because we have church today, this church will always be the same, that may be a positive thought, but it's not necessarily true. So we're here today to celebrate this church, Northwood Baptist Church. We're to celebrate the goodness of God in this church. But we also ought to be here to think about, you know, what's this church going to look like 10 years from now? Or 50 years from now? Or in the case of our church, over 100 years from now. And so we celebrate God's goodness, but we ought to also think about what is our role? What is our role in the future of our church? Now I want to look at our text here in Revelation chapter 3. And I'm actually going to give you the first part of the sermon this morning and the last part of the sermon after lunch. So today, though, we're gonna get into it and we'll finish it up later. So if you're here today, you have to stay for the last part. So that's all there is to it. Matter of fact, if you can only be at one service today, make it the second one, okay? No, I'm just kidding. Now, notice several facts that are very important. By the way, if it's in the Bible, it's important. Verse 19 says, and we're going to keep our Bible open here, I hope, in Revelation 3. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, there's an obvious conclusion can be drawn from that statement. Number one, this is it. God loves His churches. This is a message to a church, a congregation, an assembly of believers. This is He, and God loves them, and He says this. Now, this is very, I think, pertinent. As many as I love, I what? I rebuke. As many as I love, I rebuke. Now, I'm gonna just give you what I believe is an accurate observation. There's an increasingly sort of popular theory or philosophy today in America. It's becoming more and more prevalent, I believe, that is, if you love someone, you'll never tell them where they're wrong, or you'll never disagree with them. We've got this growing sentiment in our country, this cancel culture, that if you disagree with someone, they'll just cut you off. And that's not really a healthy thing at all. As a matter of fact, nothing could be further from the truth, really. The Bible says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Think about that. God said, think about this. We like to think about God speaking to us. We like to think about God revealing himself to us. But God said this, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten them. It's reminiscent kind of Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son. Now that God doesn't only rebuke us. If we look at these churches, and we don't have time to look at every verse of them, but if you look at these churches, he commended them, right? He said, I see this about you. I know this is going on there. You're doing the right thing. He gives us commendation. But God doesn't always just say positive things to us. He also tells us the things that maybe are painful to hear, but we need to hear them. Let me ask you a question. Think about this. Just think about it in your mind and answer it in your own mind. Does God ever rebuke you? Does God ever chasten you? Does God ever rebuke you about maybe areas in your life that he disapproves of? Things that are in violation of his word? And I ask that question because I believe there's a significant number of people who profess to be the children of God that go week after week, maybe even attending church, month after month, and never really see the need to repent or to get right with God. And there's something not right about that picture. Because as many as he loves, he rebukes. Sometimes God rebukes me. I don't get upset because God rebukes me. If God rebukes me, it's because I need to be rebuked. God rebukes us because he loves us. He rebukes us because if we're meeting this week, if we're meeting this morning or this afternoon or Monday night or Tuesday night or Wednesday night, we're going to be here, Lord willing. And if God does something, if he speaks to me or speaks to you in some way that really rebukes us or corrects us, it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. Because he loves us. I've had parents actually tell me, I love my child too much to correct them. They're thinking, of course, about give them a whipping or spanking or whatever you call it. It's more than just standing in the corner. You know what I'm saying? I love my child too much to correct them. But you know what? God loves me more than any one of us would ever love our child. And yet God loves me enough that he tells me when I'm wrong. He corrects me. Young person, it's a good thing if God corrects us. It's a good thing if God points out where. Matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 12 says, if you be without chastisement, and there's a word used that we consider a profane word, but in the Bible it was just it wasn't a word of profanity. It says, you're a bastard, which means you're illegitimate. You're not a child of God. If God never corrects you, you're not his child. If God never rebukes us, we don't belong to him. If you can sin and go through life sinning day after day, week after week, and God not deal with your heart about your sin, then according to the Bible, you're not really a child of God. That's a serious matter, isn't it? So God loves his churches, and he loves them enough to rebuke them. And then look, we're still in Revelation chapter 3. Look in verse 22 again. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So not only does he love the church and us to rebuke them, but he speaks to the churches about things that he takes issue with. And that's one of the things we need. We need, as John recorded these words, as Jesus spoke these words, we're hearing showers of blessings, by the way. That's a good thing, right? Verse 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We need to hear, what the Spirit has to say to the church, to this church, the Northwood Baptist Church. We need to hear. We see in these messages of Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3 how the Lord spoke to these churches. I said it earlier. He commends them. We'll talk about that a little bit more, I think. He commends them, but he also rebukes them. And he deals with them individually. By the way, God deals with us individually, doesn't he? My wife and I got saved in 1975. And I hadn't been to church for years. My mother raised us in church, but I got out of church and I wasn't saved, lived in sin, unfortunately. And I started going back to church, and one thing led to another. Kept hearing the gospel, and I got saved. Thank God for that. And man, immediately, I fell in love with the Bible. I fell in love with the church. I fell in love with my preacher. And I'd come to church like this. I just, typical Sunday morning, I'd come to church. I'd park in my place in the church. The pastor would get up after the singing and the praying and the giving. He'd get up and start preaching. And I'm telling you, it was an amazing thing to me. It's like God was just speaking to me, not in an audible voice, but through his word. It was an amazing thing. As a matter of fact, it was uncanny how often it's just like the sermon after sermon, it was something I just needed to hear. God speaks to us in the context of his churches especially. Now, you don't have to be in church for God to speak to you through his word, but he especially speaks to us through the preaching of the word. Paul said it this way, he manifests his word through preaching. So this is not just about hearing Pastor Jane Chill when he preaches, hearing his opinions or my opinion. It's about hearing what God has to say. I mean, the God of heaven who made everything out of nothing speaks to us. He speaks to us through the word of God. It's an amazing thing. And he speaks to us words of comfort and words of encouragement, doesn't he? And he speaks to us words of rebuke and words of chastisement. Sometimes God does that. And what does he want us to do? Look in verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He speaks to us that we'll repent, that we'll get it right, that we'll hear what the Lord is saying, and that we will respond the correct way. Get it right. And this is the way of revival. Revival is not just feeling good, better about ourselves. There's nothing wrong with feeling good about who we are in Christ. But revival is not just feeling good about ourselves. Revival is not even about just getting emotionally happy. Though the psalmist who prayed that great prayer in Psalm 51 said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." When we get our hearts right with God, there is joy. But it's not just about feeling better. It's not just about joy. Revival is about seeing what God sees about us, being able to see where we're wrong, be willing to admit we're wrong, being willing to repent of that. And you know what? That's how it works. You see where you're wrong, you repent to God, and then you see God work in your lives. And we want God to work in our lives. Amen? Amen. We want God to work in our lives. We want God to work in our communities. By the way, we use this text here in verse 20 a lot, as you know, probably about salvation. We'll say to people, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, if anybody hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in with him. We use that sometimes about salvation. And it's not in the context, really, it's not about salvation. It's about revival in churches. But the principle, and I want to insert this here, the principle is the same. Because just like, I have times in my life where I need to be spiritually revived. I see things that need to be made right. I'm willing to acknowledge that. I'm willing to repent. I'm willing to ask God to forgive me. And it restores us in the place we need to be spiritually. But the same way happens when a person gets saved. They acknowledge their sin before God. I mean, Before I got saved, I was a wreck, and I'd been really making a mess of my life, and my family, and so many things. But you know what? I got up every day, and I went about my business, and I went to work, and I was doing things in my body that I should not have done. All this nonsense. But you know what? I never once thought about. I wonder what God thinks about this. You know why? Because I was lost. I was living like a lost person. But you know, when God began to work in my heart, all of a sudden I started seeing my sin. That I was a sinner against God, that I'd broken God's law, that I was in rebellion against God. I was self-seeking, self-serving. I was a very selfless, selfish person. Lived in pride, just wanted to fill myself with things that I wanted to do. You know what? That's not the way God intended for us to live. God doesn't want me to live according to what I want. He wants me to live according to what He wants. So as a lost sinner, I began to see my sin. And God in His grace showed me the cost of my sin, that I was lost and separated from God. But I came to Him with a repentant heart and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who paid for all of my sins by His sacrifice on the cross for me. And I trusted Him and I was saved. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Religion can't save us. Good works can't save us. Only the grace of God can save us. And we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So if churches like this church, if churches like the churches of the New Testament are going to remain strong and God's going to bless them and God's going to use them, we have to hear what God is saying and we have to repent. So God loves His churches and He speaks to His churches. And let's look in verse 20 and we're going to kind of wrap things up. In this verse, I didn't say we're going to wrap things up right now. I said we'll wrap things up in this verse, but we're not landing, but I can see the landing strip. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus is speaking to a church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, have those two words underlined in my Bible, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now here's a picture, like an object lesson, a visualized picture I can see. It's like God is standing at the door knocking. And it's like God is out on the front porch and He's knocking. It's a picture of God wanting to come in. I want in. And He said, and He wants to come in. If anybody will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. This is one of His churches He's speaking to. He wants to be a part. By the way, this is an amazing thing about God. He could show Himself strong anywhere He wants to, but He comes where He's welcome. God comes where He's welcome. You know, when I was a boy, which was several years ago, I was raised in East Texas, east of Dallas, and we lived in this little small frame house, didn't have air conditioning, didn't have carpet, didn't have a furnace in the house. So most of the time the windows were open, the doors were open. And there was a screen door, of course, on the front door. And somebody could come and knock at the door. And you'd hear this periodically. Several people in the house. And somebody would say, could somebody get the door? How many of you ever heard that in your life? How many of you ever said that? Could somebody get the door? And so I think about this in this text. Jesus is knocking. And He says, if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Now, there are a variety of reasons. Sometimes my wife will say, would you get the door? And there are a variety of reasons for that. And maybe I'm closer to it. Maybe she hadn't got her makeup on yet. Whatever the case might be. Would you get that? But here's the point. It seems to me like there are times when we just want somebody else to get the door. And I think that's true sometimes in churches and revival. We want revival, and He's knocking at the door, but we want somebody else to get the door. rather than us. He said, if any man, now that's not just talking about males, that's not about any church member. Now think with me a moment. Jesus wants to speak to his churches. Jesus wants to work in his churches. And he's knocking on the door. And he says, if any man will hear my voice, if any man will hear my voice and open the door, he will come in. Isn't that a great promise? I mean, that's a wonderful promise. That doesn't just mean if Pastor Jane Chill will hear his voice. That doesn't just mean if Sister Jane Chill will hear his voice. Or Brother Smith back there at the sound booth will hear his voice. If any man, if you're here today and you're a member of this church, if you've been a member here for a long time, if you've been a member here for a short time, If you could hear God through his word speaking to you about something that he says needs to change, if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Churches die not because of the culture, and we have a wicked culture. Churches die not because of their location. Because you can have a prime location and not have a good church. And you could have a less than desirable location, but God really work. Churches die not because it's God's will that churches die. Let me tell you why churches die. Churches die because nobody will get the door. That's why churches die. Because no one will hear his voice. And I'm not saying this is a bad church. I think this is a good church. I'm not saying the church where I have pastored for all those years is a horrible church. I think it's a good church. But I know this. There have been a lot of times that the Lord wanted to say something to our church. But just because he says something doesn't mean people are going to pay attention to it. Just because he says something, some people may not even hear it. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Sometimes people can't hear. Sometimes people can't hear, but I'm sure there are people who sit in churches like this and they hear a message about something. And I'm not just talking about this message. I'm talking about this week and revival services. And I would encourage you to be here every service you can, not because I'm a good preacher. I don't think that's true. I want you to be here because we're going to talk about the Bible and what God has to say from the Word of God. But sometimes people can't hear, but sometimes people hear, but they won't do anything. They know there are things in their life that need to change, but they're not willing to make any adjustments. Nobody hears. Maybe they hear, but they don't repent. Nobody will say, Lord, we want you to come in. I'm telling you, we need the Lord in our churches. We need him working in our churches. And you know what he said? I will come in with him, and I'll sup with him. In a few minutes, we're going to have a meal together. Hope you're going to stay around. If you don't, I'll eat your part. Nobody do. I hope you'll stay around. Mealtime's a good time to fellowship. Share a meal together. And Jesus said, I will come in and sup with him. It's good to meet friends. It's good to make new friends at church. We love our church family. We've enjoyed getting to know some of you a little bit. But I'll tell you, there's nothing like having the Lord fellowship with you. We may look at it this afternoon, but this picture that John saw on the Isle of Patmos, he saw these candlesticks, and he saw someone walking among the candlesticks. You know what those candlesticks are? They're the churches. And you know who it is walking among those churches? It's Jesus. We want him with us. We want him working in our midst. We want him speaking to us. We want him to be pleased with us. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, you could be sitting here today and you're not saved. You don't know the Lord. You're not sure you're going to heaven. But God's been working in your heart. God's been dealing with your heart. God's been drawing you. He won't force himself into your life. You know, you can hear the gospel, know the gospel, and die in your sins and go to hell. You say, why is that? Because it's not knowing the gospel that makes a person a Christian. It's receiving Christ as your Savior. It's repenting of your sin and putting your faith in him. And if today he's working in your heart, if you know it's God, You ought to just say, Lord, I want you in my life. I need you. We do need him. But then if you're here today and you're a church member, you're here as a guest, and maybe God is only God can. He puts his finger on things in our life. Maybe something we've never made right. Maybe something we've never made right with another person. Maybe something nobody else knows about. But God brings it to our mind. I think a lot about that passage in Matthew 5 where Jesus said, if any man brings his gift to the altar and there thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. In other words, you're coming to the altar, you're coming to a place of prayer, and it just comes into your mind. You know, you need to get this right. That's how it works. Sometimes we just dismiss it out of our mind. But you know what God wants us to do? God, you're right. I'm wrong. I want to make this right. Having fellowship with you is more important than me having my way. And that's how people have revival. That's how churches have revival. And so I just want to encourage you today, whatever you feel like the Lord is saying to you, respond to that. And say, Lord, I want you. I want to make this right. I want to repent. That's what the Bible says, repent. He rebukes us that we can repent. And then he says, I'll come and sup with you. I'll fellowship with you. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. So we're going to have prayer, and the person at the piano will play some music. The main thing we want to do right now is we want to obey the Lord. We want him to have his way. We want him to work in our hearts. Not just today, but throughout this week, we want God to work in our lives. Could we bow our heads together? If you're able to stand, I would invite you to stand at this time. If you're not able, we perfectly understand that. But with our heads bowed and our eyes closed today, would you in your own heart just say, Lord, I want you to have your way in my heart today. I want you to work in my life today. There may be something that God's been dealing with you about for some time. And maybe today God's just reminded you of it, the need to make that right. Maybe it's just between you and the Lord. Maybe it's between you and somebody else. I'm going to pray, and then let's just obey the Lord. Father, we thank you today for just the blessed time we've had today, just to sing, to seek your face together in prayer, fellowship together, to hear your word in the Sunday school hour. We thank you for the simple principles of this passage today. God, you love your churches. That you speak to your churches. And you speak individually to your churches. And that revival comes because we're willing to obey what you deal with us about. God, would you work in our hearts today, each one of us, I pray.